And what do you like about reading, Crystal?
I like reading outside in the park.
It's May now, isn't it?
It is, and
And
the sun is actually out.
it's fantastic.
It
The only
is.
problem that I have with reading in the park is I read everything on my iPad, and the glare, I like can't see the screen sometimes.
Oh, you're not allowed to complain. You're not.
Definitely not complaining about
Considering it was
sunny
snowing
days.
last week.
It's true. Welcome to the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast, where we take a look at a direct published work, what's too hot, what's too cold, and what's just right. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Crystal.
Crystal, what did we read this week?
We read Wander Dust, the Serafina Parish Trilogy, Book One by Michelle Warren.
I like that title.
It's quite a mouthful, actually. That was the first time I said it aloud, so I'm quite pleased with myself.
Oh, because Wander Dust is kind of a play on words with wanderlust, right?
Exactly. It's a good title.
What made you pick the book up?
I was looking for another direct published author who sort of was in line with the Penryn and the End of Days series that I enjoyed so much,
Which you
and
devoured in
like 30 seconds.
not a lot of time. Yeah.
And this was a recommendation.
And well, thank you very much for the recommendation, folks. What? Tell me a little bit about this book.
It is about a young girl who is living with her father, not really having a great time, discovers that she has a special ability, and moves and goes off to school to learn more about how to use this special ability. So it's a lot like Harry Potter.
Yeah, I was going to say that's familiar, but it's also a little different, isn't it?
Right, in that it also plays with time travel
Which is
in a
cool.
neat little way. So it's kind of like, I want to say Looper a little bit, or Jumper. I think it's called Jumper,
Yeah, I know Looper,
time.
the movie about Bruce Willis who goes back in time to stop himself.
Himself. So it's
Anyway.
not it's time travel.
Yeah.
So a combination of Harry Potter and pick your choice of time travel movies.
Star Trek 4.
Yes.
It's a combination of Harry
Of
Potter
and
and the Search
Star
for
Trek.
the Whales. Tell me about the main character.
Serafina is 17. So she's 16 or 17. And she is very driven by, her missing mother. So she wants to be able to find or at least see her mother, because that plays in with the whole time travel a bit. She's very courageous and is dedicated to learning about the new skills that she's discovered she has.
What was too hot? What was there too much of?
There was a little too much intensity in the romantic relationship for me.
Now, this is a young adult book, so it's interesting you should
Is,
say
and I
that.
was just about to say, because I'm an old lady.
We don't talk about a lady's age. That gets me in
We
trouble and
don't.
sleeping on the sofa.
But yes, it does. Thinking about it from, the perspective of I am a full-blown adult at this point in my life. And when I read a situation where a girl, and in this case, she receives a picture of this boy, which,
Yeah, right at the beginning.
right at the beginning. And I know that you got to introduce your love interest right away, but this, it sort of is more of an infatuation as opposed
Yeah.
to something that develops. Whereas, I think about relationships in the real world,
Yeah.
and I know for a fact that when you meet somebody, there's the initial connection
Yeah.
or pull that you feel towards them. But a relationship is something that develops over time. It's not this immediate, holy crap, I want to suck face with them all the time. And,
So is Suck Face the way that we keep our PG podcast
It
rating?
is. It is actually. Good catch.
So tell me about how that works, because this is a young adult novel and it's written for a specific reader in a specific way. So like as an author, how do you kind of reconcile what the audience is expecting with what is kind of borderline not a good message for young women?
I think it really depends on the author, because this would connect to a 17-year-old girl or someone younger, a teenaged girl,
Yeah, they'd be like, I get that. That's me.
or teenaged person.
Yeah.
Let's not stereotype type there, but
Mutant Ninja Turtle.
A Ninja Turtle.
Yep.
Might like it too.
Donatello had a huge crush on April. Yes. Was that Leonardo? I don't remember.
Well, we've spun spiraling out of control.
Turn into the skid. Go.
So, you know, it would appeal to a person of that age group. And is there anything wrong with appealing directly to how... Because, I mean...
No,
because
this is a wildly successful book,
and
right?
And thinking about when I was 17, your feelings are that intense. And you think that the person that you're with is your one. And it's going to be intense. And your emotions are intense. So that appeals to that.
Yeah, but the thing is, a 17-year-old doesn't know and doesn't have context for... You know, their relationships are very intense and they're drawn to them like a moth to a flame, when really the other person should be more like gravity. Like, you should be drawn to them just kind of naturally and it should feel very organic.
Well, exactly. And that would lead to my point of what I like to read and write is something that I would want my child to read. And that's a more realistic scenario of, yeah, you can be attracted to a person, but you don't really know that person. Yeah. And you can get really mad at them, that's fine, but how do you communicate with them? How do you slowly fall in love? Because I think that's more beautiful than this intense, you know, click, because as we all know, as adults, those tend to burn out quickly in some situations.
Yeah. What was too cold? What was there not enough of?
I was actually taken a little bit by surprise by this one.
Okay.
Because when I did a bit of reading about the book before I decided to purchase it, and I had read that the descriptions in the book were really well done. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately didn't feel that way.
And why is that?
I found that the description was lacking. I couldn't 100% see the world that we were in.
Okay.
Was it
like a representation of our world, or was it world building?
It was a representation of our world, but unlike Harry Potter, it takes place in our world, but in the school that's sort of hidden.
Yeah.
So I would have liked more description of the school. Another example would be when they time travel to Venice.
Yeah.
I didn't quite feel like I was in Venice, or that it was any different from the world that we had just left.
Yeah.
And I think, in a way, the description, unfortunately for me, read a little too clinically. It wasn't as smoothed out, or it didn't draw me in.
It lined out a picture. It didn't kind of paint a picture.
Exactly.
Right? Now, especially with places that exist, like I've never been to Venice. I would not know how to write a description of Venice. How do you get around that? Like, that seems to me a big challenge, because
it's something I really avoid.
Yeah.
Because I personally feel that if you haven't been to the place before,
yeah,
it's very difficult to write, because someone who has been there before is going to be like, well, that's sort of what it's like. And I'm not saying, I don't know if Michelle has been to Venice or not, but
if she had, it hadn't come across.
I needed a little bit more. Like, I needed a little bit more of the flavor of the place. Because again, I've never been, and it's sort of, for a teenage girl to travel back in time to Venice, wouldn't that be awesome and exciting?
Especially,
and everything would be really fresh
part,
and vivid,
like,
and
you have to make a hard cut between the now and the then.
Yeah.
So you need to pump up the description. There's different smells. It's a whole different experience. I mean, I go to different places and I land and it's like the air smells different and the water tastes different. And the buildings were built at a different time.
And that's between two countries.
Two countries in the modern time.
Or even two cities within Canada or within the United States. So I just wanted a little more that I want to be drawn in more with the description, as opposed to it, like you said, more like a line item as opposed to painting a picture.
What'd they get just right?
I loved it's the way that the magic works here.
Okay.
In that the kids are in groups of three.
Yeah, there's
roles. And they can't actually begin their training until all three people are together. So they have to wait for their group or for their they're all the people in the group to realize that they have this power before they can begin their studies.
That's really interesting. So the idea is you could potentially be waiting for the third if there's not the right fit.
Exactly. I thought that was really cool because I don't know. I always enjoy the sense of you are destined to be with these people and work together.
See, for me, it's the work together part, like the squad mentality, right? Yeah. Where everyone has their own specific roles, and that allows you to write tension in a different way.
And she did a great job in that because, so there's tension between her and the other girl in the group. There's tension between her and her love interest for various reasons. So it does, you know, when you're forced to work together with people that you've never met before, one you're attracted to, the other seems to not quite get you or be a completely different personality from you, it makes for really great writing. And I think that setup is done beautifully.
Tell me about the three different roles.
So, oh gosh, if I...
No spoilers here.
So you have the wanderer who can actually wander through time. Mm-hmm. You have the seer who needs an artifact and can actually see who's touched that artifact and the path that that artifact has had over time. And you have the protector who protects the wanderer as they go through time. So it's a really... There's a really great scene in the book where... They're sitting in a class and the teacher or the professor is actually explaining how the artifacts work and how the seer needs to look at it and how the protector and the wanderer need to work together. And it was one of my favorite scenes in the book because I felt like it really got to the meat of, you know, who are these people? What are they doing? And how do they do it?
Yeah. And it's a nice change from the lone wolf, omnipotent hero who has to do everything themselves. Because ultimately that person is deeply fallible.
Yeah.
But always seems to be infallible, right? And that kind of rings false for me.
I really like that. Like, it's an excellent point that you made. I really like that part of the book because at one point something does happen and she does have to go out on her own. And the seer in the group, Sam, basically says, "You will need us."
Yeah.
So we will be here. You will need us. This is where we'll be. So, you know, you're not alone kind of thing, which was a really neat and unique aspect of this book.
Why don't we go out on a high note?
We should.
That was Wanderdust, the Serafini Parish trilogy.
Serafina. Sorry, my writing's Serafini. A little skewed.
I just call sounds it like a type of pasta.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Wanderdust, the Serafina Parish trilogy, book one by Michelle Warren Crystal. Who's this book for?
This book is for, I'm going to say primarily girls, you know, of the young adult age group, which is probably about 13 to 17, 18. It doesn't have enough adult elements for me to really recommend it for an adult. But that being said, it was a very enjoyable book.
And where could you find it?
It is on Amazon.com.
And are you ready for this? Where can you find us?
It's like a test every time.
Oh, God, every time.
www.everythingstemporary.com.
That's one.
We are on Facebook, Everything's Temporary.
That's two.
Twitter, at Everything's Temp.
That's three.
iTunes, Goldilocks, and the Three Cares.
That's four.
And I think that's it. I don't know. You keep counting, and I feel like there's more.
For the next one, I was going to say 4.5. Yeah. 4.75.
We kind of
there's
make it
five
to
of
10.
Them. Keep going.
No.
Well, everybody, thank you very much for listening to the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, share it with a friend, subscribe, tweet, Twitter,
do Facebook, something.
Do something. Write it on a paper airplane and throw it off a high building.
Just and then do it like 100 more times.
old-fashioned Twitter. Yeah, do it like 100 more times, but don't get caught. Thank you very much for listening to the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Crystal. Until next time, keep reading.
I have been holding in a sneeze cough the entire time.
That's going to be ugly. Please.
You were on a roll, so I didn't know when to kind of like hold up my finger and then to like... But we managed to make
it. By the way, with the the airplane, you should really just get like a flock of pigeons and do it by scroll. Like tie a little scroll.
Carrier pigeons.
And then all it says on it is like Goldilocks and the Three Cares.
Yeah, there's a pigeon eating like an old Big Mac on the ground. It's unscrolled. It says Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast and there's a QR code. That is viral marketing.
That's marketing.